Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Go to our Facebook page, amen, and find us there. You can locate us under either Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, amen, or you can locate us, amen, under Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD, amen. Drop us a line. Let us hear from you. We'd love to hear what God is speaking to you, how this ministry is actually blessing your life, amen. If any of you would just want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, please leave your prayer request. Amen. If you would like us to minister at any one of your programs, also follow the instructions at the top of the page, and someone will get in contact with you at our earliest convenience. Amen. Amen. Now, those are the announcements, amen, for this evening. Let us go into prayer and then prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we praise your name. We glorify your name. We thank you for this day, God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing, and we thank you for your power. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your protection, God, over us. We thank you for bringing your people over the hedges, the highways, God. We thank you for bringing people safely from point A to point B and having your angels of protection gathered around us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, as we, your people, come this evening, Father, we humble ourselves at your feet. We submit our ways. We submit our will. We submit our minds. We stay focused up on you. Father, I'm asking now in Jesus' name that your presence will come, your anointing will come, your the kabod, the weight of your glory will come and rest up on us in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking that you would make your abode in the lives of your people. Amen. You're supping with us already. You're living on the inside of us. You did say in your word, greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. You're already on the inside of us, God, but we're asking that you would increase your anointing, increase your presence in our lives in Jesus' name. God, that when they look up on us, when man will look upon us, they will not see us, but they will see the Christ in us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, I ask that you would anoint these lips of clay. Let me speak forth your words on tonight. In the name of Jesus, oh God, begin to stir up the gifts that are laying dormant on the inside of your people, Father. Even now, I'm asking that you would begin to stir in us that gift of prophecy, Father. Stir in us that prophetic anointing where we would begin to speak to every situation that is not like you and cause it to come into alignment with your word. God, that we would speak every situation that you want us to turn, that you want to go in your favor. God, that we will begin to speak forth the oracles of God, that we will begin to speak forth your mind and your heart in our situations, and not only be in the in our situations, God, but even around us in our everyday living, in the name of Jesus. God, right now, begin to stir up your people, Father. Stir them up in prayer. Stir them up in your word. Stir them up with a spirit of obedience. God, give them the unction to speak forth. Give them the unction to prophesy. Give them the unction, God, that they will go forth and speak your word over the lives of your people, over their lives, over situations, over circumstances that you command in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we bless you, we praise you, and we glorify you for all that you have done for us. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Please, women, men of God, put those hands together and give God some glory. Amen. I didn't say patty cake. I said give them some glory right wherever you are. Amen. Amen. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can't be ashamed to give God praise. You can't be ashamed to give him some glory. You can't be ashamed to give him some honor. You can't be ashamed not to recognize him for who he is. I didn't say act a fool and draw people to yourself so that you will look crooked and crazy, but there are times when you just have to raise your hand, when you just have to say, Lord, I thank you. When you just have, God, I bless you. You're worthy of all praise. Sometimes you just got to clap your hands in the atmosphere. Amen. Just let the devil know he's doing nothing today. You got to recognize and give God glory every chance that you have. It's just not to give him glory in your house, in your personal four walls. It's not just set to give him glory in your car. It's not set to give him glory just in the church building only. But it says, let everything that have breath, what? Praise ye the Lord. And I'm commanding everything that has breath to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, our God is good. And our God is awesome. Amen. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Amen. People of God, if you would turn with me tonight to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. The book of Ezekiel. Amen. Chapter 37. One more time. The book of Ezekiel. Chapter 37. And let's do a little reading tonight, shall we? Amen. Let's start at the first verse. Reading out of, amen, the King James, New King James Version, actually. Amen. Word of the Lord reads as such. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord, brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Amen. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said, verse 11, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open up your graves. I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out and brought you up from your graves. 14 and final verse. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. And the Lord add blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doers of his word. Amen? Put our hands together for Jesus this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can the bones live? And we've all heard these messages before, people of God. Can these dry bones live? Can these dry bones live? We all know that, yes, they can live. But the main thing that I'm talking about tonight is not only just the dry bones, amen, because if you look around you, I'm pretty sure, amen, that each one of us have situations, circumstances, places in our lives that are dry and dead, shriveled up. You understand what I'm saying? And I want us to be careful tonight because what I'm speaking to you about and what I'm charging you with, the same thing that God is charging me with, we have to make sure that we begin to speak or prophesy to what God wants to live. I'm going to say that again. We need to make sure that we choose our words wisely because when we begin to speak, we need to make sure that we're speaking to the very thing that God wants to live, that God wants to change, that God wants to birth. Why? Because there's some things in our lives, there's some issues, there's challenges, there's some circumstances in our lives that are dead, and we need to leave them dead and buried in the grave. This is not time to resurrect. This is not time to go down memory lane. This is not time to talk about remember when the good times, let them roll. It's not time to talk about that. Some things God killed, and we need to say amen to it, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, let them die, don't look back, let the grass grow over it, and we need to keep moving forward. However, there's some situations and circumstances, there's some places, there's some areas, there's some tasks, there's some anointing, there's some assignments, amen, that God has been urging you and pushing you and nudging you and getting you to recognize and see. And he says, I need you to begin to birth this thing. I need you to begin to speak life into it. I need you to go back and try again. I need you to bring it forth in this season. But I can't do that until you begin to speak, until you begin to prophesy, until you begin to step out in faith, knowing that I am with you, amen, knowing that my hand, amen, is upon you, amen, concerning what I've given you, concerning what I have spoken to you. Now it's time for you to begin to open up your mouth and begin to prophesy to the dry bones that I'm showing you and begin to cause them to live. Uh-huh. See, before we can accurately speak, we have to first know what we're dealing with. We have to first know what the situation is. And here in the first verse of Ezekiel, he said, The Lord came upon me, brought me out in the spirit, amen, and sat me in a valley, and it was full of dry bones. Verse 2, and then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many, open valley, and very dry. So before he even gave him instructions, before God even gave Ezekiel instructions to begin to speak, he had to first survey what the situation was. Yes, he did. He had to survey. He had to look at it. He had to examine the situation. And for some of us, we're doing a whole lot of speaking over things. We're doing a whole lot of prophesying and speaking in tongues over things, but we're not surveying the situation. And because we're not surveying the situation, we're not looking at what we're really supposed to be seeing. We're not examining it. We're not learning about it. Now we're wondering why things aren't moving, why things ain't happening. I've done all of this. I've turned around three times. I shouted, you know, over in the corner. I shouted on one leg for half an hour, and I spoke in tongues and turned around for 15 minutes in a circle. And I'm still seeing the same thing, which is nothing. Well, child of God, have you actually asked the Lord, amen, is this what you're showing me? Is this what you want me to see? And if so, I need to examine it. I need to review it. Any person, amen, who signs a document, amen, an important document that is going to bind them into a contract of some sort for a long period of time, you just don't sign your name on the dotted line just because they said sign here. Oh, no, you don't. No, no, no. What you do is you say, let me read that first. Let me look at the fine print. Let me see and understand, make sure I understand what it is I'm signing and what it is I'm actually agreeing to. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? And the same thing that God did with Ezekiel, he took him into the place he wanted him to show. He took him to the assignment. He took him to the task. And then he gave him parameters to walk around. He said, walk around and look at it. See what it is. See what the situation is first. Begin to examine it. Begin to really see what I'm seeing, how the situation really is, not what people are trying to tell you what it is, but what in reality, how it really looks. Amen? And then he began to ask him a question. Can they live? After he looked at it, then he said, now can they live? We all know the answer. Oh, Lord, you know. Excuse me. He said, oh, God, you know. You know what can do. You know what can be done. Only you know. You know if you want this to be revived or not. So let's bring it into a little bit into today's time. Oh, God, shall I pursue this thing? I know you're showing me this. I see the whole situation. You're giving me time to really look at it from all angles, and I can see how it got there. Now I can also, you've given me the vision to see how we can turn it around, how we can make it better, how we can improve. Now the next question is this something that you want me to take on? I'm asking that question. Because some of us have taken on tasks, we've taken on duties, we've taken on challenges that God never intended for you to take on. He just wanted to show you, give you a view of the situation so that, A, you can pray, A, that you could be a watchman, or B, that you could look at it and see what not to do or what to do when you go to the next place. He didn't tell you to get joined up. He didn't tell you to lock in. He didn't tell you to lock down. He didn't say none of that. He just said look and see. And you took look and see to link up, join in, sign the contract, eat dinner, break bread with folks, begin to lock in all the way, give your money, give all your resources. But did he really say that? Did he tell you to come into alignment with these people? Did he tell you to come into alignment with the circumstance? And so we have to be careful in this season, especially this season right here, because the winds that are getting ready to blow. He spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me a couple weeks ago. He said, listen, I need you to prophesy again to the winds. I need you to speak to the winds. I'm like, okay, God, yeah, all right, wind, yeah, amen. But I didn't really go into depth of what wind am I speaking to and why do I need to be speaking to the wind. So therefore, I'm going forth without understanding, going forth without clarity, amen, and then looking for results but not seeing any, or trying to be extra effective, amen, where I have not received full instruction. So whatever you do tonight, man and woman of God, make sure that as he begins to tell you to move forward, that you ask him for divine instruction. Now, when I say before you move forward, I'm not giving you carte blanche to sit back and be fearful, sit back and be afraid, sit back and be disobedient. As you're moving, as you're going, as you're singing, yes, Lord, then ask him to reveal to you and bring clarity to you and bring understanding to you what it is that he truly wants you to do and why. And then as he's doing that, as you're going forth in obedience, God will bring together the missing pieces to the puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at verse 4. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy, the English Standard Version says, prophesy over the bones. And say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Now he asked them a question, can they live? When he said, Lord, you know. He was seeking clarity. He was seeking understanding. Then the next move was, okay, now this is what I need you to do. Prophesy over these bones. What is it that God is telling you to speak over? What is it that God is telling you to prophesy over? What is it that the master is telling you to speak life over? Or what is the master telling you to bind up in the atmosphere? What is the master telling you you need to decree and declare and speak authority, the authority that I've given you to cancel certain assignments, demonic forces, demonic assignments in the atmosphere? What is it is he telling you? What is he asking you or telling you to prophesy to? I'm sure all of us, at one point or another, God has spoken in clear terminology, clear English, whether it's a dream or whether it's through a prophetic word or whether it's through the Bible itself or something on TV or a song that's being sung. God has spoken very clearly as to specifically what it is he wants us to begin to prophesy over, what it is he wants us to speak over or into. And have you, the second thing is, have you done that? Or are you still walking around, amen, twisting your hair and your thumb in your mouth and going around in a circle talking about, I don't know, I'm not sure. I think he said, I felt like he said, well, I was feeling good in service that day, and I fell out on the floor and rolled on under the benches. So I think the Lord spoke to me, and listen, in this season, man and woman of God, you got to know in your knower that he spoke to you. You have to know in this season and get sure enough clarity and understanding. Write those words down. Write those messages down. Write those scriptures down. Write what God is saying unto you, whether it's through the word, whether it's prophesied to you, however he does it, you need to write it down, and then you need to rehearse it and get that thing in your spirit. Get it in your mind, and as you begin to get it in your mind and your spirit, and God is clicking on that green light, giving you the yes, then you need to open up your mouth every time and begin to speak over it, and then begin to prophesy over it, and begin to declare, decree over it, not your own will. Listen to this. Not your own will. I feel it needs to be done this way, oh God, in Jesus' name. Do it, Lord, do it, Lord. No, you need to put the word on it. What does the word say about the situation? What does the word say about the circumstance? What does the word say about how God feels about a thing? That's what you need to be speaking over. That's what you need to be breathing over it. That's what you need to be decreeing and declaring over it is his word. Glory to God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, huh? You need to be decreeing God's word. If you don't know his word, then you can't decree something. If you don't know his word, you can't speak accurately what it is that you need to do. You're just speaking out of the flesh, speaking out of your own desire, speaking out of your own will and your own heart. That's why you got to get a relationship with him. That's why you have to build on top of, well, I am saved. Okay, that's good. Now let's take it to the next step. That's why you got to begin to develop that relationship with him. And as you develop that relationship with him, the clearer the voice becomes, the clearer the lingo becomes, the clearer the understanding becomes. Are you hearing me today? You have power in your mouth. Oh, glory to God. You have power. You don't have to be set in the office of the prophet to begin to decree. You don't have to be set in the office to begin to prophesy, to speak over your own life, speak over your own children, speak over your job, speak over your finances, speak over your church, speak over your ministry, huh? Speak over the nation, speak over the intercessor, speak over things that God has spoken to you in the midnight hour. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you and pull you up and pull you over and roll you in and roll you out and shake the dust off you. You don't need all of that. All you need to do, baby, is get you on in a prayer closet, get you in a secret place, begin to lock yourself up with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and begin to talk to him along with his word and begin to speak to him. And I guarantee you he will show up every time. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Time out for that waiting for somebody to, well, you know, somebody's going to help me and somebody's going to make sure it happens and, you know, somebody's going to motivate me and make sure that I get to where I'm going. Listen, it comes a point in the time in every man's life where you got to want it more than a breath itself. It comes a time in every person's life when you don't need nobody to tell you. You got to get a motivation in your own spirit. If everything around you is lack, if everything around you is just, I just want just enough, if everything around you, amen, is always about the crumbs from the master's table, I don't know how you're living in that existence. Now here, listen to what I'm saying with this. There's the God has promised me, amen, and I have to go through the process so I can get to the end of that, what God has promised me. There's a difference. You could be in a poverty situation but not have a poverty mentality. But I have met people that are comfortable and set in a mindset of lack, in a mindset of mediocrity and satisfied and always got their hand out, want somebody to put something in it. And then when somebody has to challenge them, they got their lip all poked out talking about, why y'all talking about me? Why y'all trying to press me? Why? You know what? Because it's time to grow up. It's time for you to begin to speak life. It's time. Eventually, even in the Bible, amen, with the children of Israel, I'm just going to turn there for a second, even with the children of Israel, the manna and the quail ceased. One more time, the manna and the quail ceased. Once it ceased, then the children of Israel were responsible for their own planting and harvesting. What are you saying, prophetess? I'm saying tonight that it comes a point in time in our lives when trying to get the prophetess and the apostle and the pastor, amen, to do all the prayer, to do all the prophesying, to do all the laying of hands, to do all the praying. It comes a point in time when you as an individual, you as a person that has been sitting under the leadership, the man or woman of God that God has placed you under, it comes a point in time where it's time for you to begin to do those things. It's time for you to begin to prophesy. It's time for you to work your faith. It's time for you to show love to those that are lost. It's time for you to minister the gospel. It's time for you to minister to the sick. It's time for you to lay hands on those who are ill and watch them recover. It's time for you to work the word. Work the word. Work the word. And while you're working it, prophesy to somebody, this is what I feel that the Lord is saying, and prophesy to them. You don't have to go in the shabba-da-da-da-da-da. You don't have to do all that. You don't have to speak in tongues 15, 20 minutes to give somebody a word of encouragement. Let somebody know in your circle that Jesus loves them. And while you're speaking it over them, you need to speak it over your own life as well. And while you're speaking it over in your own life, you need to turn and see what's out of order that needs to come into alignment and into order, and then begin to use his word, use his anointing, use what he's placed inside of you, and begin to watch things come together. Amen, everybody. This word, this anointing, is not just for the pulpit. It's not for those who've just been saved 10, 15, 20 years. Joel says, in the last days, and we are here, that he will begin to pour out upon all flesh. I think we need to go to Joel for just a second, because we need to remind people what's in the book. We need to remind people what's in the book, because I think sometimes we just get stuck on certain scriptures, amen, that we just like to talk about, certain scriptures that are familiar to us, amen, and then we forget that there's other scriptures that God is definitely saying something more than you just getting your house, your car, amen, more than you just getting, you know, your great grand, this is your time to rise, this is your time to go forward, this is your time to be recognized, this is your time, this is your season. Oh, now, here it is. No. Let's recognize what he wants us to truly do. Amen. Let's look at Joel. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give God some praise right where you are. Give him some glory right where you are. God wants to do something for you, and he's waiting for you to begin to speak. Let's go to Joel. Amen. Let's go to Joel chapter 2 and the 28th verse. Excuse me. Amen. Let's go here. He said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my flesh, pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall, what does it say? Prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass. That means it is all, when it was really spoken, it already happened, but we're now catching up to it. We're coming into that day on the regular. If you have your antennas, your spiritual antennas up and attuned, everybody is talking about the next great outpouring that God is getting ready to do. He's talking about the great outpouring that he's getting ready to restore unto his church, because we have seen a lot of mess and a lot of junk that has gone on over the years. We've seen a lot of men, true men and women of God, fall by the wayside, amen, because of being distracted, because of teaching erroneous doctrines or allowing moral sins to take them out, amen, or getting off track of what the true assignment that God has given them. We've also, at the same time, seen men and women of God who have stayed the path, stayed the course, and those are the ones that I have been listening to and been in alignment and agreement with. They're saying that there's going to be another great outpouring that God is getting ready to bring up on his church right before his entrance again, and that we are going to see his glory once again in the atmosphere. We are going to see the signs We are going to see the wonders, and we're going to receive the miracles. However, men and women of God, we need to get excited about it, because he's not just talking about the pulpit operating at this level. He's talking about all those who have called upon the name of the Lord, those who are who have went through the process, those who have submitted themselves to his will and his purpose in their lives, those who have completely sold out to everything that he's doing. Those are the ones that God is getting ready to pour out his spirit upon. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Those that are in the pews are getting ready to come forth in power and in anointing. Amen. So all of those of us who have been faking it, those of us who have been trying to hold on to positions and places, amen, for a long time, thinking nobody's going to get over on me, nobody's going to take my spot, nobody's going to take my place. Well, baby, that time is getting, your time is just about up, because God is getting ready to bring in a mighty rush, a mighty anointing that's going to move you out the way. We will be able to tell those who are on the Lord's side and those who are not. So we cannot afford to be fearful to prophesy. We can't afford to be fearful to not speak, amen, over whatever it is that God wants us to speak over. You can't be fearful to begin to speak over what God wants you to do. That your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The old men will see dreams. The young men will see vision. And he said, on those men and women servants, maid servants, I shall pour out my spirit in those days. So this isn't something, well, I got to be called to this thing. Well, you're called. We're all called. I'm not talking about the office gifts. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the gift of prophecy, being able to speak. Amen. He's given that to all according to his anointing and according to his guidance. Amen. Now let's go back to Ezekiel once again. 37. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, I will surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. What is he asking you? What is he commanding you to speak over? What is he telling you to cause it to live once again? What is God nudging you and urging you? What is that dream, that vision that just won't seem to die, won't seem to let go, won't seem to lose you? It always comes up some kind of way. Something always happens where it begins to bring and cultivate those seeds that have been laying dormant in your life. He's saying to you now, I need you to speak to it. And listen to this. This is, you know, some things, let me back up just for half a second. When you begin, you have to recognize that words have life. And when you speak, you're speaking forth either death or life. The Bible does say death and life lie in the power of the tongue. We have to understand that we're spiritual beings, and that when we begin to speak over things, into things, randomly running our mouths, as I like to say, when we don't recognize the power that is in every syllable that comes forth out of our mouth, we don't recognize how the weight that our words carry. Our words are so powerful, amen, that you can cause something that was dead and have been dead a number of years to begin to bring forth life again. At the same time, that same power can work in reverse, and things that were living can die instantly. When you speak forth words, you have to recognize that your faith is attached to it. And here's where many of us miss it, because we don't recognize, we don't fully understand or grasp, is that when our words are words of faith, whether you're operating in God's faith or your own faith, whatever you speak, you're speaking it with an assurance, with a forwardness. You're speaking, this is what I know, this is what I'm saying, and I'm speaking it, and I'm decreeing it as law. Even when we speak out of pain and hurt, we're still speaking things into the atmosphere, and we're decreeing it to be so in the spirit. And whatever you speak, it will be honored, because words are spirit. So we have to be, and so many of us, let me back up just a half a second. So many of us really have to really take a look at what's coming out of our mouths. For many of you, the enemy's got your ears stopped up because you're so on autopilot. He has the autopilot switch on, and it's been on for a number of years, because you speak things, and when somebody recalls to your remembrance what you said, you will be ready to fight and swear up and down that you never said that, I never did that. That wasn't the payment, because you're on autopilot. And the enemy loves the fact that you're on autopilot, because anything will just randomly come out of your mouth, and it will have to be done exactly how you said it, because you don't understand the authority that you carry. So what are you saying, prophetess? I'm saying you need to begin to look around you and see the situation, see circumstances, and recognize or really get a full understanding, did I cause that by my speech? Don't nobody like me. Every time I get around somebody, they always got a problem with me. Well, have you thought about that your speech is constantly being rehearsed? You're constantly speaking to the winds, and then those winds are carrying those your words out into the atmosphere, and therefore when it comes back and boomerangs and smacks you in the face, you're all upset. But you have to understand, you spoke that. You spoke nobody likes you. You spoke you can't get along with nobody. That's what you spoke. So therefore, the spirit and your faith attached to the words are beginning to just reduce the life that you have given it, and it's boomeranging, and the seed and the harvest that you're getting is what you've spoken, what you planted. A real hard look at ourselves and recognize, this harvest that I'm reaping, is this something that the enemy has caused, or is this something that I have caused because my words have birthed it? I remember the Lord speaking to me many years ago, newly saved. He said, I will honor the words that come forth out of your mouth. And I'm like, ooh, yay. Oh, God. Woo-hoo. Yes, Lord. I'm saying that, but I'm not really understanding the weight of that. I really didn't understand the weight of what he was saying. Until one day, there was a circumstance that had gone on in my household. And I was hot like fire. Prophetess was hot like fire. And I was ready to stand up. And I had my hand all up in the air. You know how we do. And I'm pointing into heaven. And I was getting ready to speak some stuff, curse everything that moved and breathed. And, you know how we do sometimes when we get into that foolishness. Or we get into the flesh. And we get into anger, emotionalism. And right before I opened up my mouth, the Lord spoke to me and said, listen. He said, if you speak it, I will do it. He said, but be aware of the consequences. I'm going to hold you responsible for the consequences. Somebody need to hear that today. Immediately, I pulled my hand out the air. I checked my attitude. I bowed my head. And I repented. Because then I began to wonder, what else have I birthed in my life by him honoring the words that came forth out of my own mouth? What is coming out of your mouth, woman of God? What is coming out of your mouth, man of God? But when you get into alignment with him, when you begin to line up your vision with his vision, when you begin to get the heart of God in the situation and line up with obedience and your faith coming into alignment, then when you begin to speak forth, when he gives you clear instruction, divine clear instruction, then as you begin to speak, then you will start seeing in verse 6, you'll start seeing the sin you come. You'll start seeing the flesh come. Upon the sinew. Then you'll start seeing skin come, and then you'll start seeing things begin to breathe again. But that's just not enough. That's just one facet of it. The next part, it's one thing to see it come alive, but it's another thing when it can breathe on its own. It's one thing when we have to help you to breathe, when we have to put a respirator on you to help you to breathe. And it's another thing when you can start breathing on your own. He said, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. So in other words, obedience began to operate with that. I'll pause here for just a moment. There's some situations God spoke to you in and commanded you to do something in it, do something about it, say something to this, move something out the way, rebuke that, bind that, speak over that, life here, death to this, call forth this, push that out. He commanded you to do something. Have you yet obeyed? Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is interesting. What he just revealed, he said to me, there's things I speak to you back here that is going to cause you to reap the very thing you've been asking me for here. You've been asking me for this thing, he said, but I've been trying to get you to obey in the small thing, not realizing that as you're obeying in the small thing, that's the very thing that's connected to the thing that you've really been begging me for. Needing me for, asking me for, praying over it, prophesying over it, turning your plate down over it, shouting over it. The very thing that you've been asking me to do, he said, all I'm asking, what I ask of you is to begin to speak over this over here in the small thing. Prophesy over this here. Break that foundation there. But to you, it didn't look like it connected, so therefore you ignored it. To you, fear got a hold of you, so you ignored it. I'll just forget about it. It's not connected because I need to see the big thing. In obedience, we begin to see all things come together. If you can be obedient in the small, everything, even in the small, is connected to the bigger picture. Some of us were sitting here frustrated. We're frustrated and we're angry at God because we're not seeing him do what we asked him to do. And all he did was ask you to do it back here 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe last week, maybe last month, last year. And you still have not did that one or two things he asked you to do. And those two things were connected to what you've been asking him for. So here Ezekiel, number one, he surveyed the situation. He got an understanding. Then he got instruction. Then he walked in obedience. And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, my words came into alignment, my faith came into alignment, my obedience came into alignment. Now as I speak, things have to come into alignment. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And when all those things come, that's when God begins to move. And there was a noise. And suddenly, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And what is so interesting about God, God is a God of order. He didn't just allow the skin to come together without the bone. And when I did some research on the bone, and I'm not going to get into real detail about it right now as I was doing a preach somewhere else, the thing about the revelation about the bone is that the bones or the skeleton of a human being, that is the very essence of your being. The marrow that's on the inside of the bone is the very essence of your makeup. So he prophesied, and therefore he began the noise, the sudden rattling, and then the bones came together, bone to bone. What was out of order began to come into order. Can you imagine it? You have a foot over here, over in the corner, and you have the shin bone in another corner. And each bone began to come to where it was originally designed. They knew where to find each other, and each bone came together, because I can imagine in my mind that those bones were just piled up on top of one another in a pile, in a heap, just tossed around, just scattered and just sprinkled around. Everything was just out of order. And as Ezekiel began to prophesy, everything that was out of alignment began to come into alignment. From whatever direction it was in, it made sure it met right at that particular time. He said, indeed, verse 8, as I looked. Now, here's the thing, people of God. Sometimes you just can't, I prophesy one time and that's it. There are times when God will give it to you like that. You'll prophesy one time and that'll be it. But there's other times that you have to speak. The Bible even says that speak those things as though they were. Speak those things that are not as though they were. And there will be times in your life that you're going to have to speak and speak it again until you begin to see everything come into complete alignment that he originally designed for it to be. But you cannot give up. Your faith can't waver. I don't care what Susie and Sally's doing. I don't care. You got to know where you're calling. You got to know where your parameters are. You got to know where you belong and what lane you came from. And then you need to stay in that lane. And you need to work the work that the master's giving you. The bottom line, as long as you get to the finish line. Many of us are trying to rush to the finish line, and we left the weight of damage along the way. No, take your time, because everybody has a point in time to finish. You just make sure that when you finish, that the work is not undone. And that when you leave here and meet his face, that you can say, or you can hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. But you got to begin to prophesy. I just want to encourage you, prophesy, speak to it. Put in word, but I don't know what to say. Get in the Bible, find the answer to the situation you're dealing with, and then speak on that. But put his word to it. God has to honor his word. He's not going to honor nothing else but his word. Not your own personal opinion, not your feelings about it, not the tea you're in there. He's going to honor your word and the faith attached to it. And when you recognize that it really ain't about you, and it's really about him and his will, then that will deal with a lot of frustrations. Hmm? I just want to read this and then I'm going to let it go. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I looked, the sinews, the flesh, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Hmm? So now, that's why I said you just can't do this no one time and then stop. Well, I did it. I did it one time. I didn't see nothing. No, you got to keep pushing. You got to keep striving. Hmm? You got to keep going. You got to keep speaking over it, prophesying over it until you begin to see the breath. And that's where he said, listen, I need you to prophesy to the breath. Hmm? Prophesy. Say to the breath, come from the four winds. Excuse me. Oh, breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live. Father, right now we thank you and we bless you. We glorify your holy name. You are a righteous one and a holy one, God. Father, help us right now in the name of Jesus to begin to prophesy over whatever the bones are in our own life. God, begin to give us the unction. Begin to give us the boldness to come forth in power and the anointing to begin to look, hear what you have to say. Show us the situation. Let us get the full understanding and then speak it now so that you can get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not saved, pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Wash me in the blood. Make me whole. Forgive me of all my sins. I'll serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. Welcome to the kingdom of God. We at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you that you would be led by the Spirit of the living God to a Bible-believing and teaching church that's going to train you and birth you and mature you in the kingdom and in your assignment. Amen? Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Visit us there. Also, pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Prophetess McQueen. I love each and every one of you, and I'll see you again next Thursday at 7 p.m. Be blessed.